When state lawmakers and Governor Kathy Hochul put together the state budget earlier this year, they had the good fortune of putting together a spending plan with an economy outperforming expectations, tax collections higher than hoped for, and great returns from Wall Street. But what if that trifecta isn't present next year when New York is looking for revenue to fund an ever-increasing budget? To begin to answer that question, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by E.J. McMahon, founder of the Empire Center for Public Policy, a fiscally conservative think tank. Welcome back to the show, EJ.
Thank you.
So in light of the many bad days in the securities industry this year, you recently wrote a piece examining the effect of a bear market on the state budget. Before we get to the consequences of a downturn, can you explain the role Wall Street plays in funding New York state government every year?
Well, yes, Wall Street plays a huge role. Directly and indirectly in the economy of the state, and an even greater role in terms of its share of the revenue that the state government raises. In an economic sense, the state comptroller's annual analysis shows that the securities industry generates 20% of total wages in the city, despite having only 5% of the jobs. But those 20% of wages also are high wages on average, well into six figures. They pay taxes at a higher rate, and thus, for instance, the annual crop of securities and industry bonuses are an important element of marginal growth in the state and city income tax, but the state in particular. We have in our tax base, we have a big hunk of the income on which the state collects taxes is capital gains, mainly on sales of corporate stocks. And most of those capital gains are reported by or on behalf of very high income earners, income millionaires for the most part, who generate now at this point in the wake of last year's tax increases are approaching 50% of the state's income taxes. I think that the Wall Street boom, largely unanticipated in the immediate wake of the pandemic, was a big factor in the unexpected surge of revenue the state collected. So the dip since the beginning of the year is a concern.
Yeah. Can you quantify the dip that we're seeing right now? Is this a big dip or should we think of it as the little dip if we want to think about our astrology and look to the skies?
We're now officially in what's called in Wall Street terms a bear market. That is, the total value of the major indexes, and the one that's the focus these days is the Standard & Poor's 500, the S&P 500. The total value of that index is down more than 20% from its high, and its high was right around the beginning of the year. That's a big turnaround, because keep in mind the mathematics behind this. If something goes down 20% and you were expecting it to go up 10%, it has to go up more than 10% to get back to the start, get to where it started. Much less produce what you expect. In her budget, Governor Hochul had estimated that there was a record level of capital gains income in the state revenue base for fiscal 22, which ended in March, and that there'd be a nice, healthy 8% further increase in that share in the new fiscal year. Well, that's not going to happen in all likelihood. It's not impossible, but it's highly unlikely. That, again, has a ripple effect, and I think that the revenue projections that were the basis even for the enacted budget are probably overly optimistic, and that unless the market rebounds very strongly and that the finance sector rebounds very strongly, which nobody is projecting right now, before the end of this year, I think the state's revenues are going to be a bit short of the mark, at least.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that calendar. The state fiscal year begins April 1, ends right. March 31st. What is the timeline we're looking at where we need to see some sort of rebound, and not just a rebound, but then a growth in order to hit some of the projections? Is this something where we still got plenty of time, or does there need to be some sort of recovery sooner than later?
Even though the state fiscal year overlaps a quarter into each subsequent calendar year. So like the first quarter of the next year is the last quarter of the state's fiscal year. Really, for the sake of the tax base, particularly the income tax base, what matters really is the calendar year, particularly the last three quarters of the calendar year, which is what we're in now, from now till the end of December. And there's two factors here, really. One is, what's the strength of the finance sector, and how does that affect the level of dividends and capital gains earned by very high income earners. Second is, and not unimportant, is are we going to experience a full-blown recession? This is the other wild card. A lot of economists and financial analysts now think there's at least a 50% or 60% chance, Larry Summers, for instance, says 60%, of a recession before the end of the year, due in part, in large part, to the disruptive emergence from the pandemic, the Ukraine war, the supply chain clogs, and last but not least, the impact of inflation on consumer behavior. A recession following a bear market is always very bad for the state's revenue base. Now, the state has big reserves because there was so much revenue coming in. Hochul has built up a pretty big reserve fund in the budget and was projecting that it would grow. I don't think that growth is likely to occur now. And she has enough money basically to pad a fall in revenues if there was a severe recession and a bigger fall in revenues. But that basically, at a certain point, that would run out in another year or two. So that's kind of where we stand right now. It's a very uncertain time.
Well, I'm glad you touched on the reserves, because that was a big part of the narrative surrounding this year's state budget, which was that Governor Hochul and the state lawmakers were making an investment into our rainy day fund, asking you to put on your meteorologist hat. Does it appear to be raining? And if so, do we break out these funds in the next fiscal year to cover any drop in revenue?
Well, using that analogy, the horizon is dark and we're feeling sprinkles. Whether we have a prolonged downpour is the question that's out there. Prolonged downpour would be a full-blown recession and no recovery in the stock market before the end of the year. That would be a heavy rain, and that would drain those bigger reserves. By next year, you'd be having, in planning next year's budget, you'd have to plan on dwindling reserves rather than growing reserves.
And does dwindling reserves mean that we're spending some of the reserves, or that we're just not contributing as much to them as planned?
At the very least, we won't be contributing as much, if anything, to them. Quite possibly, we will be reversing the flow and actually spending the reserves before they've gotten up to the big level the governor said she wanted them to get to. So it's ironic, because I can remember, if you're of a certain age, you can remember over 30 years ago, the state made a big push to finally develop bigger reserves. I can recall pretty clearly in the late 80s. And it had no sooner begun to do so than the revenues crashed, and there was a severe mistake in the estimate of capital gains income, and everything kind of went south in a hurry, and it all led to the fiscal crisis that Mario Cuomo experiences last term in office. So what looks like a good steady plan to fatten the reserves today can quickly wash away tomorrow, depending on what happens with the economy and the stock market.
And when we think about the picture moving forward, will we get our first real indicator of how the governor is responding to this later this fall with the mid-year financial update? Or are there any other responses? Okay, yes, yes. So what could we learn at that point about how the state is anticipating responding and how seriously they're taking the situation?
A really important indicator will be how the tax receipts are come in what's called the mid-year, the middle of the fiscal year, which is at the end of October. The budget division is supposed to release a report based on all of the numbers through September, which is the middle of the fiscal year. If estimated tax payments, in particular by very high-income people, are not still increasing strongly, that's a trouble sign. By the way, there's a huge amount of confusion in this, but related to a complex issue that's too much to get into now, which is the state created what was called a workaround of the state and local tax deduction cap on the federal level to try to restore a federal tax break for high income earners here, called the pass-through entity tax, which is a very complicated thing. But it has greatly complicated the task of interpreting exactly what is going on with income tax receipts, and has kind of put it on a different track than it's been before. And it makes it harder to compare this trend with past trends. And I think creates a degree of worry as to, how sound the estimate is.
Well, finally, do you think there's going to be any situation where state lawmakers will need to reconvene before the end of 2022
no.
to address budget concerns? So no, you think this is something that just needs to be tackled in 2023?
If there's a problem, if the current drizzle and the dark clouds on the horizon grow into a full-blown extended downpour and nor'easter even of rain, if you will, the problem such as it is will be something that has to be dealt with as part of the budget for fiscal 24, which is the budget that the governor will present February 1st next year for the subsequent year. Instead of continuing to increase spending at a very high rate and also putting away money in surplus funds, we could be draining the reserves and in a position where they need to curb some of the spending they've set in motion.
Well, we've been speaking with EJ McMahon. He is the founder of the Empire Center for Public Policy. EJ, as always, thanks for making the time.
Thank you very much.
Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.